Okay, so for Siman Tzadi Dalad, there are going to be six basic topics that we're going to discuss, Be'ezras Hashem. The first will be, what happens if you use a milchuk spoon to cook fleshik foods? The second will be, what happens if you use a milchuk spoon in order to stir par foods that are in a fleshik pot? The third thing we'll discuss is going to be two big differences between Basar Chalav and Shari Surim, that we'll discuss the Sefer Trumas, which we've mentioned in the past. The fourth thing we'll discuss will be what happens if you use a milchuk knife to cut fleshiks, like hot fleshiks. The fifth thing we'll discuss is the tanadish shel panadish. And then the sixth thing will be pouring hot honey from a fleshik pot into a milchuk pot. Okay, in terms of the first topic, using a milchuk spoon to cook, to stir fleshik foods. So the first question, if I have a standard case of milk making its way into your chicken soup pot, we need 60 parts of hatzer, we need 60 parts of chicken soup against that milk in order for the milk not to trafe up your chicken soup. Now, when we're dealing with a milchuk kli, the very first thing that the Darkei Moshe just wants you to know is that when we're talking about a milchuk kli that's going to pose a problem for your chicken soup or for your beef soup. So we're talking about a milchuk kli that became milchuk because you used it for boiling hot milchuks in a kli rishon. If that wouldn't have been in a kli rishon, it wouldn't be boiling hot, then this spoon wouldn't be posing a problem right now. So we're talking about a milchuk spoon that became hot because you used it for hot milchuks in a kli rishon. That's what the Darkei Moshe quotes from the Isra Etar Arch in Klal HaMetzayin. That Isra Etar Arch comes up quite a bit in this siman, as we'll see. Now, so you have this milchuk spoon, and you used it to stir your chicken soup or your beef soup or whatever it is. Now the question is, I know that I need 60 parts of chicken soup against whatever milchuk makes its way into my chicken soup in order for the chicken soup to still be kosher. The question, though, is, when I'm using a milchuk spoon, how much exactly is that? So what it really boils down to is as follows. The smack tells us, and we've spoken about this also again in Simon Tzadi Ches, the smack tells us that if you know exactly how much milchuk is contained within that spoon, so then you only need 60 parts of chicken soup or beef soup against that amount of milchuk that's within the spoon. So, for example, if I have a brand new spoon that I haven't used before and I used it to make a cheese omelet today, and the cheese omelet had only one piece of cheese in it, so I know that the max amount of cheese or milchuk that I could be trying to combat with my 60 parts of chicken soup would be one piece of cheese. So if I have 60 times, let's say, the volume or the mass, depending on the Pesach Tshuva, but if I have 60 parts against that cheese, so then the soup won't be treif. But let's say I don't know exactly how much milchuk is contained within this spoon. Let's say I've used this spoon multiple times over the past 24 hours for all different kinds of things, and I don't know exactly how much milchuk is contained within the spoon. So then we come up, then we have a big machlokes rishonim, exactly how much I need 60 parts of chicken soup against how much exactly. So the Raiva tells us that, and again, this is the same Raiva we've discussed in Siman Tzadi Ches. The Raiva, as we know, bases the rules on kachal, and that the same way that for kachal we say that you need 60 parts of heter against the entire kachal because you don't know exactly how much is being emitted by that kachal. So similarly, the Ravid says the only kind of utensil that's going to pose a problem that you're going to need 60 against the entire thing potentially is something that's similar to kachal, in that the same way that kachal cannot be restored to its status as of heter. So similarly, the kind of kli that we're talking about that's going to be a problem that you're going to need 60 parts of chicken soup, let's say, against it, in order to be mevatel it, is the kind of kli that cannot be restored to its status of heter. In other words, the kind of kli that we're going to need 60 parts of heter against the entire kli would be something like a kli cheres. But any other kli if you have a spoon that's made out of anything else, metal or wood or whatever, then you can just estimate the amount of tam that is presumably being emitted by that kli. The Ramban disagrees with that Raivit. Now, that's the Raivit's position. So the Ravid holds that it boils down to whether this spoon is made out of cheres or anything else. If it's made out of cheres, then you're going to need 60, potentially 60 against the entire spoon. However, if I'm dealing with a spoon made out of anything else, then I can just estimate the amount of tam that might have come out of this spoon. However, the smack the Smak, the Shari Dura, the Sefer Truma, they all disagree with that, and they basically say it doesn't make a difference what the spoon is made out of. If it's made out of metal, if it's made out of wood, if it's made out of cheres, you're always going to need 60 parts of heter against the amount of the spoon that was submerged within the pot. Now, that's a little bit of a fuzzy phrase when we talk about the amount of the spoon that was the lashon of the tor, the lashon of the smak, is shatachav mimena bekedera, that was stuck into, that was submerged in the pot. The question that the Acharon discusses, does that mean submerged within the confines of the pot, even if it's not within the contents of the pot? Or does it mean specifically that you submerge it in the contents of the pot? Okay, but either way, According to these Rishonim, the Shari Dura, the Smak, the Sefer Chumas, so they all hold that you would need 60 parts of chicken soup against the amount of the spoon that was submerged. Now, so far we've discussed the Ravid, who says that it just depends whether the spoon is made out of cheres. If it's not made out of cheres, then you can just estimate the amount of time released. According to these other Rishonim, the Shari Dura, the Smak, the Sefer Chumas, they all hold that no matter what the spoon is made out of, you're going to need 60 against whatever amount of the spoon was submerged. Now, the final opinion, and we'll see this keeps coming back, we saw it in Siman Tzadiches, it comes up over here as well, is the sheet of Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz holds that it depends if the spoon is made out of metal. If the spoon is made out of metal, then we have a concept where we say Cham Ekzalso Cham Kulo, that if one part of the spoon became hot, then presumably the whole part of the spoon became hot, because metal conducts. And therefore, if the whole spoon became hot, so then we assume that the tam travels with the heat, which means that if the whole spoon becomes hot, then you have to assume that tam permeated the entire spoon. Which would mean then that if I'm dealing with a milchuk spoon that I stuck into this pot of chicken soup, I used to stir my chicken soup with this, I'm going to need 60 parts of chicken soup against the entire spoon in order for the chicken soup to be kosher. Okay, so again, just to summarize what we've discussed so far, in this case of using a milchuk spoon to stir my chicken soup, the first question I have to ask myself is, how did the spoon become milchuk? So, and that's from based on the Isra Tar Arch and Klal Lamed Zayin, brought down by the Darkei Moshe, that the spoon had to become, in order for there to be a problem, the spoon had to become milchuk by having been used within the past 24 hours for hot milchuk that was in a Kli Rishon. Now that I have my milchuk spoon and I used it to stir my chicken soup, now the question is, I need 60 parts of chicken soup against how much in order for the chicken soup to still be kosher. So we said that's a big machlokes. According to the Ravid says, if the spoon is made out of anything other than cheres, then I can estimate the amount of time released by that spoon. The Ravid says, if it is made out of cheres, then that's similar to chal, in which case you need against potentially the whole thing. That's the Shita of the Ravid. Then we have the Shita of the Shari Dura, the Smak, the Sefer Truma, say that it doesn't make a difference what the spoon is made out of. You always need 60 parts of heter against the amount of the spoon that was submerged within the pot. And then the final opinion we discussed was the Shita of Rabbeinu Peretz, who says it depends if the spoon is made out of metal. If the spoon is made out of metal, we say Cham Ekzalso Cham Kulo, which would mean then that we have to assume that the tam traveled up the entire spoon, so you'd need 60 parts of chicken soup against the entire spoon. If it's made out of anything else, then we would just say the standard that you have to figure out how much of the spoon was submerged in the pot. Okay, that's the first point. Now that we're talking about, though, that I have 60 parts of chicken soup against this spoon, well, what happens if I stirred this soup once and then I stirred it again with this spoon? What happens if I dunk the spoon in twice? Do I need 60 parts of chicken soup against the spoon for each time that it was submerged in the pot? So that's a little bit of a machlokas. The Torah tells us that really what it boils down to is yidiyah. And this is based on a Mishnah in Trumas. The Mishnah in Trumas, as we know, discusses what happens. We know that it takes 100 parts of chulin in order to be mevatel Trumas. So let's say I have a great big bowl filled with chulin. 100 parts of chulin, and then one part of chuma falls into that bowl. So we know that the halacha is that chuma becomes batel. Now, what happens if another part of chuma falls in? So the Mishnah says that if I haven't taken out the amount, we know that generally because of Gezel L'Shev, you have to take out the amount of from that taraivas corresponding to the amount of chuma that fell in. Before I got around to taking out that amount corresponding to the chuma that fell in, so if another Sa'av Chuma falls into that great big Taravis, so then I say Chayz of an Eir. I say that the two parts of Chuma that fell into this pot joined together, and therefore I don't have a shear to be Mevatel them. However, if you take a look at the Tosefta, and the Beis Yosef understands the Mishnah this way, The halacha is, though, that it depends if there was yediya in between the two chumas falling in. In other words, if I became, let's say I have this great big bowl of chulin sitting on my table, and then one unit of chuma falls in. So now the chuma should become batal as long as there's 100 parts of chulin against it. So if there's yediyah, if I become aware of the fact that there is chuma in that fell into this pot, and I became aware of this taraivis, so then the chuma is batal completely. And therefore, if subsequently more chuma would fall in, we wouldn't say chozer v'ner. In other words, yediyah enables bittul to kick in. And similarly over here, if I stuck this pot, this milchik spoon, into my chicken soup pot twice, I dunked it into the soup twice when in the course of stirring, so then the halach would be, it depends, would I need 60 parts of heter against the soup spoon? Would I need against for each time that the spoon was submerged into my pot? So that would depend if there was yediyah in between the two submergings, in between the two dunkings. If I became aware of the fact that I realized, oyvei, I used a milchik spoon in order to stir my chicken soup pot, and then I completely forgot about it, and a few hours later I stirred the soup again, not realizing, and then I realized again. So then we would say, you're realizing that this spoon was milchik the first time around, that enabled bittul to kick in. And therefore, I'm not going to need 60 times of heter, double. The yediyah enables bittul to kick in, and it's not like I say that each part of the milchik spoon that it's not like I dropped in. Let's say I use this for omelets before. It's not like I dumped in cheese multiple times into this soup. We wouldn't view it like that at all. We would say that you need 60 parts against it only once. Now, so in other words, it depends on whether there was yediyah, and that's how the Torah paskins. Now, the Chumas Hadeshin Simon Kuf Pei Gimel says, the fact of the matter is that I don't see any of the older Rabbanim trying to determine when people come to them with kashrus shailos, I don't see them trying to asking how many times did you submerge this spoon in the pot. So the Chumash Hadeshin thinks that, and he tries to scrounge around to come up with reasons why that should be okay, but the fact of the matter is, the Chumash Hadeshin says, it seems that nobody really paskins that way, that you would actually need 2 times 60 if there wasn't yediyah in between the two dunkings of that spoon. However, the Sharidura, the Go Sharidura, says, Hamach Ritav Alav Bracha. Now, how do we paskin? So if you take a look at the Mechaber in the beginning of Simon Sadi Dalet, first of all, in terms of do you need 60 against how much of the spoon, so in terms of the machlokes between the Raya of the Smak, the Rebbeinu Peretz, the Mechaber brings down both the opinion of the Smak and the opinion of the Rebbeinu Peretz. First, he brings down the opinion of the Smak. He says, if you stick a milchik spoon into a fleshik pot, into a fleshik soup, so that we need 60 parts against the amount of the spoon that was submerged. You need Misharim b'kol masha nitchav mimenu b'kaderi. You need 60 parts against whatever was submerged. The Rama paskins, as he did in the Darkei Moshe, that this is, of course, if the spoon was milchuk, in that it was used for hot milchuks in a kli rishon within the past 24 hours. But then, as an afterthought, the Mechaber says, v'yesh mishomer, he quotes the Rebbeinu Peretz. He says, shim ha'kaf shal matachas misharim b'kulo, mishom decham k'tzas ucham kulo. So how do we paskin? So the Rama says, we have two opinions on the table. We paskin like the Smak. We don't paskin like the Rebbeinu Peretz. And the Shach says, by the way, the Mechaber also paskins that way, because he's presenting the Rebbeinu Peretz as like an afterthought, as a Yesh Misha Omer. Okay, now, in terms of dunking the spoon twice, how would you paskin? We have, on the one hand, we have the Tor, who says that it would depend on if there was Yediya Bein Tayim, if you became aware of the fact that this spoon was milchik and that you dunked it into the soup before you dunked the spoon in again, so then there's a bittul that kicks in. But if there isn't Yediya Bein Tayim, so then you need 60 times of, you need 60 parts of chicken soup for each time that the spoon was dunked. So the Mechaber actually paskins like the Tor. The Mechaber does say that in Tzadi Dalet Beis, it says, in Tachav HaKaf, B'kedei R'shnei Pa'amim, V'lo Noda Bein Tayim, Tzarek Shnei Pa'amim Shishim. The Rama, though, paskins like the Chumash Hadeshin. The Rama says, V'yesham V'desagi B'pam Achas Shishim V'chein Nogim. So the Rama paskins like the Chumash Hadeshin. Okay. Now, in terms of this lumdus, though, for the sheet of the Mechaber, remember what the Mechaber is paskening now for the spoon that was dunked twice. The Mechaber is paskening l'chumer. The Mechaber is paskening like the Torah. The question is, what's the lumdus exactly behind that? So the Shach spells out the lumdus a little bit more clearly. And the Shach says, well, really what the concern is as follows. When I have a milchik spoon that I dunked into my fleshik soup, so I obviously the milchik spoon contributes a certain amount of milchik tam into the soup, and the soup in turn embeds this spoon with some fleishik tam. So now within this spoon, if I still have a little bit of chalav tam in this spoon, so then this spoon becomes a piece of nevela, which means that if I stick it in again, in other words, the spoon itself is bas v'chalav. It's a piece of bas v'chalav now, which means that if I stick it in now, I'm going to be sticking in a piece of nevela into the soup. And therefore, I need 60 times for of heter, I need 60 parts of chicken soup against the spoon for the two times that I dunked it. But let's say I would dunk in the spoon more than two times. So says the Shach, well, once this is nevela, you can't become nevela again. There's not going to be an issue beyond that point, beyond the point that becomes nevela. The spoon is already aser b'toras nevela. So then I wouldn't need any more. Even if I dumped this spoon in five times, I wouldn't need 60 parts of heter from the chicken soup against the spoon for each of the five times that I dunked it in. Okay. So far we've discussed 60 parts of heter against how much of this spoon. And we discussed the difference if you dunk the spoon multiple times, if you need 60 parts of heter against that. Now the question is though, okay, so let's say you have the 60 parts of chicken soup against the soup spoon. Whichever sheet in the Rishonim you're holding, like the Ravid, the Sharidura, the Smak, the Rabbeinu Peretz, however it is that you arrived at the 60, but let's say I have 60 parts of heter against whatever amount of milchiks I need there to be 60 parts against. So now, what's kosher, what's treif? So the Torah tells us, well, the contents of the pot, the chicken soup, can't be treif because there wasn't a nesinas tam of chalav. So the chicken soup itself is fine. And the pot, therefore, that's cooking that chicken soup is also going to be fine. And now, what about the spoon, though? So the spoon is actually subject to debate. The Torah paskens that the spoon that I used to stir that soup is treif. Now, that we find is in contradistinction with the Rashba, perhaps. The Beis Yosef says that the Rashba we know from Siman Tzadik Gimel, he tells us that it's possible for tam of basar or tam of chalav to become diluted, to become watered down, such that it's not going to have the same effect when it joins up with the opposite. So if I have watered down basar, so it's not going to, because it's miklash, so then it's not going to result in basar v'chalav. And so similarly over here, if I have this milchuk spoon that contains milchuk tam, but I stuck it into this pot that has 60 parts of heter against it, the 60 parts of heter water down that tam. And therefore, there's not going to be, the soup spoon itself is not going to be composed of this basar v'chalav issue. And therefore, this spoon now, that was once upon a time milchuk, well now after I dunk it into this soup pot that contains 60 parts of heter, this spoon now gets converted to fleishik. And I can use this spoon perhaps for fleishik. Basically, Yosef is a little bit ambivalent about what the sheet disarashba would be, but that is a suggestion. However, the smak disagrees, and we know that the Torah disagrees as well. The smak tells us that the spoon itself becomes treif. And for that reason, the smak asks, well, I don't really understand how this works. Why is it that if I stuck a spoon, a milchuk spoon, into a boiling pot of soup, why doesn't that boiling pot of soup accomplish some sort of a hagalah on this spoon to leave it as kosher? Which we know is similar to the lumdus of the Rashba. So the smak says, I'll tell you what the reason is. The reason is that first of all, the smak gives you a number of reasons, but the two that we'll discuss for now is that first of all, hagalah has to be resichas. We need boiling, rolling water that's come to a rolling boil, or liquid that's come to a rolling boil, in order for Hagalah to be accomplished. And over here, there's not necessarily roschen. Another issue might be is that if you didn't stick the spoon in far enough, if I didn't stick the spoon in far enough, then Hagalah is not going to be accomplished. Okay. Now, so that's if I have 60 parts of heter against the spoon. If I have 60 parts of chicken soup against this milchuk spoon, so then we say that the soup is kosher, the pot is fine, but the spoon itself is treif. Now, let's say I use this spoon afterwards for treif. So if the spoon is ben yomo, in other words, it's within 24 hours of having been used, having been treifed up, so then this spoon will in turn treif up anything else that you use it for. But if it's not a ben yomo, then it's not going to be as much of a problem. Now, what about the pot, though? So actually, before we get to the pot, let's discuss the other possibility. Let's say you don't have 60 parts of chicken soup against the milchuk spoon. So now, what's the story? So that depends if the spoon was a ben yomo or not. If the spoon is a ben yomo, then everything is treif. Again, if you don't have 60 parts of chicken soup against the entire soup spoon, or against the entire milchig spoon, however much it has to be, so then it's going to depend if there's a ben yom or not. If the spoon is a ben yom, well, then everything is treif. The contents of the pot, meaning the chicken soup, is treif because the spoon contributed an asinus tam into the chicken soup, which means then that the pot was being used to cook basar chalav, which means that the pot itself is treif. And the spoon as well is also going to be treif. Now, if I have a treif pot, what's it good for at this point? So that's actually a little bit of a machlokes. If I have a treif pot, so we know if it's treif, betoras basar v'chalav, so basar v'chalav is asr b'hana'a. So is there anything that I can use this pot for? So the Mordechai says, yeah, you can use the pot for dry things. The Mordechai says, as long as you're using it for things that are dry, no problem. However, the tour and the Sharidura, both paskin that that's not true. They both paskin that you can use this pot, this Bas V'chal pot, even for liquids. As long as you're using it for cold liquids or for fruit or whatever, then there's no problem. Now, what happens though if I use this treif pot to boil a cup of water for a coffee shortly after it became treif? So what would be the din? So again, if I use this pot within 24 hours of having become treif, so then obviously the waters are going to be treif, and I'm not going to be able to do anything with it. But let's say I used this pot after it was a ben yomo. So it's no longer a ben yomo, and I used this treif pot that was treif b'toras bas v'chalav. I used it to boil water. So what's the story? So the issue over here is that obviously there's a nosin tam of gam, so the water is not really inherently treif, but the issue that we're going to have on our hands is that you would be deriving hana'ah from Isser Hana, right? You're having Hana from this pot, which has absorbed Bas V'chalav flavor in it. So the pot itself is considered as Asr Hana. And therefore, if you want to drink those waters that you boiled up in this Einu Ben Yomo, Treif, Betaras Bas V'chalav pot, you're going to have to throw out the value of that pot into the ocean. Okay, so far what we've discussed is if you take a milchig spoon and you stir your chicken soup with it, so we've discussed you need 60 parts of heter against how much of the spoon, that's a machlokas rishonim. We discussed, let's say you have 60 parts of heter against the spoon, what's treif? We said the food is not going to be treif, the pot is not going to be treif, but the spoon will be treif. And then we said, well, let's say you don't have 60 parts of heter against the spoon. So then what's that in? So we said, if the spoon is a ben yomo, then everything is treif. The spoon is treif, the soup is treif, and the pot is treif. But let's say that I don't have 60 parts of heter against the spoon, but the spoon is not a ben yomo. The spoon is an ena ben yomo. So the halacha is as follows. If I'm dealing with an ena ben yomo spoon, what that means then is that it's nosin tam lefgam, which means that any milchik tam that was contributed to the chicken soup is tam pagam, which means that the chicken soup itself doesn't become treif, which means then that the pot, the fleshik pot, also doesn't become treif, because at most it was permeated with tam chalav that was pagam, so that's not going to be a problem. Question is, what about the spoon? So interestingly, the spoon itself is treif, at least lechatchila. Now, the question that, of course, the Beis Yosef asks is, well, I don't understand. If in all three of these items, the spoon, the chicken soup, and the chicken soup pot, I have the same two components. I have basar flavor, fresh basar flavor, and I have challah flavor that's pagam. So I don't understand. How is it possible that the soup is going to be kosher, but the spoon will be treif? So the Beis Yosef says that it really comes from the Gemara at the very end of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara at the very end of Avodah Zarah discusses pots, kederas that are not nosin tam lefgam. And we said if you have a pot that's an ena ben yomo, the pot is going to be nosin tam lefgam. So the Gemara asks, well, I don't understand. If every treif pot that's not in ben yomo anymore is nosin tam lefgam, so then what's the problem with using a treif pot? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that there's a gezeira kederas she'ena bas yomo, mishum kederas bas yomo. We're nervous that if you're using this pot, this treifa pot that's not a ben yomo, so maybe there'll be confusion with a pot that is a ben yomo. That's the issue. In other words, it's just a complete gezer, but inherently, the pot itself, a pot that's an ena ben yomo pot, will not treif up contents that it contains. So in light of this, the Balia Taisvis jump in over there on that Gemara and Dafai and Vav, and the Balia Taisvis say, so what comes out is an interesting chiluk that we have between the food and the pot. If I cooked up food in an Einu Ben Yomo pot, the food itself is going to be kosher. But the pot itself is going to be treif. So the question is, why is it that Chazal would be makel when it comes to the food that I cooked in a treif pot, but the pot itself is going to still retain its iser? So the Baal HaTosfos explained that the difference is that the pot itself absorbed tam that wasn't any good when the tam was still the shvach. And so because the pot absorbed tam when it was still tam l'shvach, so that's why it's going to be subject to this gezeira of kederin ben yomo, and the pot will retain its iser even while the food that I cook up in this kederin ben yomo pot is going to be kosher. So along those lines, the Beis Yosef explains the same idea, the difference between the spoon that's an Eino Ben Yomo versus the pot. Because yes, it is true that when I use an Eino Ben Yomo milchuk spoon to stir my chicken soup, so now all three things, the pot, the soup, and the spoon, all now contain fresh basar flavor and milchuk flavor that's pagum. But the difference between the spoon and the pot is that the spoon absorbed this milchuk flavor when the milchuk flavor was l'shvach. And therefore, this is subject to the standard rules of Eino Ben Yomo. And the standard rules of Eino Ben Yomo is that I cannot use this l'chatchila. However, the pot, which absorbed the tam chalav when it was already pogum, so that's not going to be subject to the rules of Kedera Eino Ben Yomo. Okay. That's how the Beis Yosef explains the chiluk between the kaf and the pat. Now, what would happen if I used the spoon to cook something? So the Beis Yosef explains that, I mean, the Torah says this as well. The Torah says that it's not going to trafe anything up, bitty yevet, but the Beis Yosef modifies that. The Beis Yosef says, actually, it depends on what you use it to cook with. If I use this spoon, this treif spoon now, it's not really treif, but it's subject to the standard rules of Eino Ben Yomo, to the standard rules of Nosin Tam Lev Gam. So this spoon, if I used it now for fleishiks in the future, in other words, the thing in which I submerged it, so then it's not going to treif up any fleishiks. But if I use it for milchiks, for the thing that once upon a time was actually used for, so then it's going to treif up whatever that is. Okay, that's the big chiluk. Okay, so far we've discussed, I need 60, when I use a milchuk spoon to stir a chicken soup, I'm going to need 60 parts of chicken soup against how much of the spoon. That was a big machlokas in Mishonim. We discussed that if I have the 60 parts of chicken soup against the spoon, so then what's kosher, what's treif? We said the chicken soup is fine, the pot is fine, the spoon is going to be treif. It doesn't accomplish a hagalah, the smak explained why. We said there could be a shita that's lahaka from the Rajba. Not clear. Then we discuss what happens if you don't have 60 parts of heter against the spoon. So then we said it depends if the spoon is a ben yomo or if it's not a ben yomo. If the spoon is a ben yomo, then everything is treif. The pot is treif, the soup is treif, and the spoon is treif. What can you use the pot for now? So that's a little bit of a machlokas between the Mordechai versus the Shari Dura and the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, the Tor. What happens if I did use this pot for something, for boiling water? Then it depends if it's a ben yomo or not. If it wasn't a ben yomo, then you just have to throw out the value of the pot into the ocean. Now, what happens if I don't have 60 parts of heter against this spoon, but the spoon is not a ben yomo? So then we said that the food is fine, the soup is going to be fine, the pot is going to be fine, the spoon is going to be treif to be used l'chatchila. Now, how do we paskin? So if you take a look in the Mechaber, excuse me, if you take a look at the Mechaber in Siman Tzadik Dalet, the Mechaber says, in Siman Tzadik Dalet, Sif Gimel, he says, "In yesh shishim levatel hakaf, if you have 60 parts of chicken soup against the spoon, hakadera v'hatafshul mutarin, so the pot is mutter, the tafshul is mutter, av lakaf asher, the spoon is going to be treif, and I can't use it for anything, I can't use it for basar, I can't use it for chalav, because obviously it's treif right now. Let's say I didn't have 60 parts of heter against it, so then everyone would say, says the Mechaber, "V'im ein shishim, hakol asher bana. Everything is going to be asher bana. Afilu hakadera. Ach, what can I use the kadera for?" Says the Mechaber, "Mutul l'seis l'socha peros otzonin kivan she'enu nana migofa iser." The Mechaber passes l'hakil, just like the Shari Dura, that I can use this. Just like the Torah, that I can use this treifa pot for cold things like fruit or even cold liquids. Now, we said, what happens if I don't have 60 parts of heter, but I do, but the spoon is not a benyomos? It says, mechaber in tzadei dalet dalet, he says, ein hakaf benyomo, hakdera v'hatavshul mutarim, so the pot is fine, and the tavshul is fine. V'hakaf aser, but the spoon is going to be treif, l'chatchila, it can't use a l'chatchila, beinim basar, beinim chalav, u'mikomokom b'di'eved, but b'di'eved, it's eino, seras kivin shalo hai sabas yoma, it's not going to treif anything up, because it was a benyomo. So that's exactly how the Mechaber paskens. Okay, now okay, so we discussed what happens if I don't have 60 parts against the spoon, but the spoon was not a benyomo. Now this leads us to a slightly tangential topic, and that is something that comes up in the Ramah, and also then and another topic that comes up based on the Beis Yosef from the Smack. The first thing that we'll deal with is the Dr. Moshe quotes a halach from the Isra Vatar Ach, and he discusses as follows. What happens? So far, we've discussed basically if I have a ben yomo or ein ben yomo spoon that I used in a chicken soup. What happens if I'm not dealing with a chicken soup? What happens if I'm dealing with a boiling pot of noodles or a boiling pot of vegetables that are boiling in a fleshik pot, and the pot is an ein ben yomo. The pot is not a ben yomo, but the spoon is a ben yomo. So I'm using a milchik spoon to stir my boiling pot of noodles or of vegetables in this fleshik pot. The pot is not a ben yomo. So what's the halacha? So this Vetter Arch says as follows. He says, For this case, certainly everything is going to be mutter. Why? Well, first of all, you're dealing with nap or not, and more so, we're dealing with a case of ein ben yomo. But let's say, though, I would be dealing with a spoon and a pot that were ben yomo. In other words, I'm using a milchik spoon that's a ben yomo spoon in order to stir the noodles that are boiling in a fleshik pot that is a ben yomo. So says the Sevetar Arch, if I have 60 parts of heter, if I have 60 parts of liquid against that spoon, then everything is going to be mutter. Why? Well, the kedera is going to be obvious. The pot is obviously not going to be treif because I have 60 parts of heter combating any tam that the spoon is contributing to the pot. However, what about the spoon itself? So says the Sevetar Arch, the spoon itself is also going to be mutter. Why? Because again, the tam is coming from the kedera, which means that the kedera is tam of basar. We first went from the basar into the pot, from the pot into the water, and from the water to the spoon. So that's definitely a case of nap or not. And not only that, once it meets up with the tam that's in the spoon, the tam in the spoon has also been watered down because there were 60 parts of heter against that tam. So the pot is fine and the spoon is fine. But what about the food? So says the Darkei Moshe, based on from the Itzvay Tarach, the food itself would have to be treated like whatever it's in. In other words, because it's currently in a fleshik pot, the food itself would have to be kimin hakli shehu b'socho. That's what the Darkei Moshe paskens. Now, if you take a look in Siman Tzadei Daled in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah actually quotes this lehalacha. The Ramah writes, I can find it. The Ramah writes in Sadi Dalid, hey, the Ramah writes, Kedera Shabishal by Yirakos Omayim, V'tachuva ba'kaf ben yomo, if I use a ben yomo spoon in order to stir up boiling vegetables in a fleshik pot, V'akedera in a bas yomo, and the Kedera is not a ben yomo, or lehepech, O sheyish b'machu sheyishim, or if I have 60 parts of heter, hakol shari. So the Ramah at first passing straight out what he presented in the Darkei Moshe, based on the Isra Vatar Arach, that everything is perfectly fine. V'noagin lahachmir, though, says the Ramah, le'echol ha'machol kemin hakli shuhu ben yomo. The custom is, though, that you treat the food to be kemin hakli shuhu ben yomo. It says, v'noagin lahachmir, the custom is to be le'echol ha'machol, to eat the machol, kemin hakli shuhu ben yomo, v'lazer hakli she'en ben yomo. So somehow the minig became the pot that's in Eina Ben Yomo should be considered to be treif, and that the food that's within that pot should be eaten together with items that are kimin hakli shuhu ben yomo. So the question is, what does that line mean? So the Shach comes along and the Shach says, well, I'll tell you, it cannot be that it means that you're supposed to eat this food together with the ben yomo type foods. In other words, in this case, I have noodles that were boiling in a fleshik pot, and the fleshik pot was not a ben yomo. And now I have a milchik spoon that's a ben yomo spoon. A milchik ben yomo spoon. So now, what do I eat the food as? Do I treat the noodles as milchik, or do I treat the noodles as fleishik? So the Shach says, it can't mean that what the Rama is telling you is that you eat these noodles together with milchiks. Why can't that be? Because Rama then goes on to tell you, ve'ina elo chumra ba'alma. This is only a chumra kimidina hakol shar, because everything is ba'atzimaz, mutter. So that can't be a chumra ba'alma. Why? Because we know from Simon Sadehe, where we talk about Dagim Shal Bakara, the halacha is that if you use this Dagim Shal Bakara, if I have these noodles that boiled in, this pot, then the halacha is, says the Shach, let me see if I can find the lashon. The Shach says, "Demkein mashu denogim lachol kemin hakli shulu ben yomu dahenu em hakli ben yomu hukhalav ogen osam hakhalav em batzer imkein heich kasav alzeh deina lachumar ba'ama ha harbi poskim sfilei da hachi denosan tamar denosan tam aser bibishol." How can you tell me that that's the case, that it's only a chumra ba'ama? That's not true. The fact that you have to eat these noodles with milchiks is not a chumra. There's some people who hold that that's lechatchila, that you're not to use it. That if I have noodles that were boiled in a ben yomo milchik apad, there's some who say that you should only eat that with milchiks. So you can't tell me that that's only a chumra ba'alma. So therefore, says the Shach, it's got to be that what the Rama means when he tells you the v'nogan lahachmir lechol amachol kimin hakli shuhu ben yomo must be that the Rama is telling you that you're supposed to eat it with utensils that are like the milchik spoon that you use to stir it with. That's what it means. The only problem, says the Shach, with saying that that's what it means, is that this is connected to what the Rama writes in Simon Sadehe. The Rama tells us explicitly in Simon Sadehe that let's say I've dug him, I've fish that was boiled up in a fleshig pot. So, am I allowed to use milchik kelim to eat that fish? The Rama paskin explicitly. The only thing that might be a problem is having that fish together with milchiks. But to use milchik kelim, to use a milchik fork to eat that fish, that's not a problem. So if this is what the Rama is telling you now, then we're in big trouble. Secondly, there's another problem, because Rama also tells us that if I have fleishik kelim that are not b'nei yoma, so I have fleishik kelim that are not b'nei yoma that were washed in the milchik pot, everything is mutter. So what's going on over here? So the Shach gives two terutzim for stars that we'll discuss for now anyway. And that is that, first of all, could be that that's what the one Rama is telling you, that this is only a chumra ba'alma. Could be that that's exactly what the point was. That's exactly what it means, that this is only a chumra ba'alma, because we don't really paskin that way. There's only some people who paskin this way. Secondly, says the Shach, it could be that there's a different reason why we're being so machmir in this case. Because in this case, we're dealing with a milchik spoon that you stuck into a fleshik pot. And we're nervous that you're going to think that when you have a ben yomo spoon, it's not going to trave things up, even in a case where the pot is a ben yomo. So because we're nervous that you're going to get confused between a fleshik pot that's a ben yomo versus a fleshik pot that's an ein ben yomo, that's why we're going to be machmir. Okay, so that's the first important halacha, the tangential halacha, anyway, that comes up from the Darkei Moshe. The other halacha is this halacha that the Beis Yosef quotes. The Beis Yosef quotes a smack that discusses the following case. Now, if you take a look at the Shach says that there is two versions of this smack, and it could be that we have that the Beis Yosef had a distorted version of it. But the Beis Yosef quotes from the smack the following case. Let's say I have a fresh, brand new pot that I've never used before, and I boil up water I boil up noodles in this pot at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I'm boiling these noodles, I use a milchik spoon in order to stir that pot. I use a milchik ben yomo spoon in order to stir that pot. And then, a few hours later, I empty out the pot, and I need to boil up vegetables now. So I take out this pot again, it's parv as far as I'm concerned, and I boil up vegetables now in it. And this time, though, I use a fleishik ben yomo spoon in order to stir the pot. What's the din? Is the pot milchik, fleishik, treif? So the smach tells us that this pot can no longer be used for baso or for chalav. The pot has to be used specifically for parv things. I can still use it for cooking, it's not completely treif, but I can't use it for baso and I can't use it for chalav. However, this Vatar Arch disagrees with this. This Vatar Arch, quoted by the Darkei Moshe, disagrees with it. This Vatar Arch says, that's not true. If I use this, and if I initially, the first time I used the pot, I used a milchik spoon to stir the noodles. And then when I boiled up vegetables later on in the day, I used a fleishik spoon. So the fleishik spoon is the kaveh in this case. And I have to use this pot for whatever was most recently used. And since I used this pot in order, the most recently was used along with a fleishik spoon, so I used the pot, I treat it as fleishiks, and I treat the contents of the pot, the vegetables of the pot, as fleishiks. That's what the Isra V'Tarach writes. Now, so we have a big machlokes now between the Isra V'Tarach and the Smak. According to the Smak, this pot can no longer be used for milchiks or fleishiks. It has to be used specifically for things that are parv. And according to the Isra V'Tarach, this pot has to be used for fleishiks. So comes the Raman. Raman says, well, I find this Smak very troubling. The Raman, the Dark and Moshe says, I don't understand what happened over here. We're dealing with a case of nap or not. In the case of nap or not, right, what happened over here? I have a spoon that was milchik. And so I have tan that went into the spoon. So I have cheese, let's say, that went into the spoon. From the spoon, it went into the water. From the water, went into the pot. So by the time that pot actually meets up with anything, it's nap or not. So what's the problem? Furthermore, maybe you'll tell me that in this bashlu, the smack is machmer for, but that's not true. We know that later on, the smack is going to tell us that when I have a standard case of this bashlu, if I have dugim, that if I have fish that I boiled up in a fleshik pot, there's nothing wrong with eating that fish together with kutach. So the Rama says, well, it could be that the smack is machmir because of yesh machmir. We know that there's a sheet of the Rivan. The Rivan is Madaik and Rashi. The Rivan understood Rashi to hold that Rashi is of the opinion that the only time that we have a het of nap or not is for dagim sha'ol bakar. The case of the Gemara where I have fish that came fresh off the coals and I put it onto a fleshik plate. So in that case, I'm allowed to eat the fish together with coals, with kutach, with milchiks. But let's say I would have boiled up the fish in a fleshik pot, I wouldn't be able to eat that fish together with kutach. That's how the Rivan understood. Nobody else understood it that way. But it could be that that's what the smack is machmer for. Could be. So now between these two shittos, between the Isra V'Tarach and the smack, who's the Rama more inclined towards? So the Rama says, truth be told, I'm more inclined towards the smack. Why? Because what seems to be the lumdus behind the smack, and by the way, it's not just the smack, it's that ghost, my money, it's also who the Ramaz Madaik and that holds like this smack. But the Ramaz says, I'm more inclined towards the smack. Why? Because clearly what the smack is doing is the smack is assigning the rules that we have by Nosin Tam of Gam for Nat Bar Nat. And the smack is basically saying, we're going to treat this pot like a standard case of Nosin Tam of Gam, and therefore, the same way that for Nosin Tam of Gam pot, I'm not going to use it, I'm not supposed to use it for Basar or for Chalav, so same thing I'll say for this case of nap or not, and that's why you're not supposed to use this pot for basar or for chalav. Masha ein kain, the Isra V'Tarach doesn't seem so mistaken. The Isra V'Tarach, I don't really understand what he's doing. The Isra V'Tarach is saying that you should use this pot for fleshiks. Well, clearly then, he's not. If he holds that this pot is meant to be used for fleshiks, it can't be that he's assigning the rules of Nosin Tam Lefgam in scenarios of Nap or Nap. Well, then if that's the case, so then why is he saying that you should use the pot specifically for fleshiks? Maybe you should be able to use it for fleshiks or for milchiks. So because of this, the Darki Moshe says, I'm more inclined towards the smack over the Isra V'Tarach, and therefore I would say that when you have this case where I have a pot of, I have a brand new pot that I haven't used before, and I boiled up noodles at 12 o'clock, and I stirred the noodles with a Ben Yoma milchik spoon, and then a few hours later I emptied the pot, and I used this pot to boil up vegetables, and I used a fleishik Ben Yoma spoon to stir that, the pot shouldn't be used for milchiks or for fleishiks. That's how the Ramah would paskin. Now, how do we paskin? So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Sadi Dalet, the Mechaber, first of all, presents the smack's case. And the Mechaber paskins outright like the smack. He says, in Siman Tzadi Dal, Sif Hei, the Mechaber writes, in Bishul Mayim B'Kedera Chadasha, V'Tachva B'Kaf Cholevis, I have a fresh, brand new pot that I'm boiling water in, and I stuck in a spoon, that's a milchik spoon, V'Achka Chazu B'Bishul B'Mayim Pamacheres, and I boil up new water, V'Tachva B'Kaf, kaf shabasser, and I used a fleshik spoon this time. Mishlei kaf was hoyu b'nei yoman. Ubushum echad me'apam lo hoyu b'mayim shishma. I don't have 60 parts of hetzer against either one of these spoons. Aser le'shtamish b'gader lo basar v'chalav. You can't use the pot for basar or v'chalav. Aval shar davar, but for anything else, mutar levashu me'achar shahaysa chadasha shol bishul b'mayola. The Ramah comes along, he says, by the way, let's say you did use it for milk or for fleshik, that's not going to be a problem, that's not going to trade anything up, everything will be mutar. Now, the Shach has a long read, because we're not going to get into this, but this is where he deals with the distorted version of the smack, but what the smack was actually quoting a story that happened with his rabbi. Okay. Now, so that's in terms of the smack. So the Mechaber does, in fact, actually paskin like this smack. Okay, so far we've discussed the spoon. I have a mukhlik spoon that I used in my fleishig pot. I used it in my fleishig soup. So we said you need 60 parts of chicken soup against how much of the spoon. That was a big machlokas from Rishonim. We said, let's say I have the 60 parts of heter against the spoon. So what's kosher? What's treif? We said the food is kosher. The pot is kosher. The spoon is treif. Why doesn't accomplish a hagal? Why doesn't the soup accomplish a hagal on the spoon? So that's what the smak came in. What happens if I don't have 60 parts of heter against the spoon? So that's where we said that if I don't have 60 parts of heter, it depends if the spoon is ben yomo. If the spoon is ben yomo, then everything is going to be treif. If the spoon is not a ben yomo, then we said that the soup is going to be kosher, the pot is going to be kosher, but the spoon is going to be treif, but only lechatchila. It's going to be like a standard case of in a ben yomo that's no sometam lechatchila, that I shouldn't use it lechatchila. Then we went on to the case that's quoted by the Darkei Moshe, that let's say I use a ben yomo spoon, a ben yomo milchik spoon, to stir boiling noodles in a fleishik pot. So we said that you can be makel in that case. That's how the Israelites are, as quoted by the Darkei Moshe, was paskin. However, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, he quotes that Allah, he says everything is mutter, but we're noyig to be machmer. We're noyig to be machmer, that the food takes on the status of whatever the ben yomo kli was. So in this case it would be milchik, and that the ena ben yomo pat should be considered a treif, but you should just know that's only chumar ba'ama. So the Shach tried to figure out exactly what the Ramah was talking about. Then we talked about the case of the smack, where I used I boiled up noodles at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and it went in a fresh brand new pot I've never used before, and when I'm boiling those noodles, I used a milchik ben yomo spoon in order to stir that pot, and there is 60 against the spoon. And then a few hours later, I use the same pot to boil up vegetables. And when I'm using when I'm boiling those vegetables, I use a fleishig ben yomo spoon in order to stir the pot. So what would be the din? We have the machlokas between the smak versus the isra v'atar arach. The smak was said you shouldn't use the pot for milchiks or for fleishigs, and we said the isra v'atar arach held that you can use this pot for fleishigs. We said that they're a mechaber paskin like the smack, and we said that the Darkei Moshe was noted towards the smack as well. Okay, now, let's discuss the next big topic. Now that we've dealt with the smack, so now we have another point from the smack, also from the Sefer Chuma, primarily from the Sefer Chuma. We've mentioned this in Simon Tzadik Ches, and that is as follows. We're going to talk about two big chilukim between basar v'chalav versus shari yisrim in terms of the effect of a meaty flavor as opposed to the effect of treif, isra nevela flavor, let's say. So the Sefer Chuma says as follows. Sefer Chuma says, let's say I have a pot that I cook pork in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then 5 hours later, at about 10 o'clock at night, I want a cup of tea. So I use this same pot in order to boil up a cup of water to have tea. So the question is, when does this pot become considered to be no longer a ben yomo? Is it going to be 24 hours after when I cook the pork, or is it going to be 24 hours after when I boil the water? In other words, does when I boil this water at 10 o'clock at night, does that restart the ben yomo clock? So the Sefer Chuma says that in this case, as at least the Beis Yosef understands it, what happens over here is that the water that I use, that I boil up at 10 o'clock at night, absorbs all that tam nevela, in which case I essentially cooked up nevela all over again at 10 o'clock at night, which means that this pot has become newly treif, which means that this restarts the ben yomo clock. However, let's say at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I boil up, I cook hamburgers, kosher hamburgers, in my pot. So this is this pot is considered fleishik. Now, and if it would be a ben yomo, so this wouldn't become an eino ben yomo until 5 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. So let's say at 5 o'clock on Monday night, I cook hamburgers in this pot. And then at 10 o'clock at night, I boil up a cup of water to make some coffee in this pot. And then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, I make my cheese omelet. So are we going to say that the cheese omelet is considered to be completely treif because I used it in a ben yomo pot, or is it considered to be an ina ben yomo pot? Again, in other words, when I boil up the water at 10 o'clock at night, is that considered to restart the ben yomo clock? And therefore, when I make my cheese omelet at 5 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, it's not a ben yomo, it's not an ina ben yomo yet, and therefore the cheese omelet would be treif. So says the Sefer Chuma, that's the difference between Isra Nevela, let's say, Shar Yisurim and Bas V'Chalav. Because in this case, the water that I use to boil, when I'm boiling water at 10 o'clock at night, after making hamburgers at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, that boiling water doesn't restart the Ben Yomo clock. What's the basic lamdus over here? So there's a little bit of a machlok is what exactly the lamdus is. And really, if you take a look, it comes down to a shach in Sif Katan Chav Beis. If you take a look in the Mechaber in Simon in Tzadi Dalet, the shach is actually on Chav Beis, shach in Sif Katan Chav Beis. So the shach writes, if I can find it over here. So you know, so let's deal with the second din of the Mechaber first. The second din that the smack tells us is, what about if I have fleishik onions versus treif onions? Let's say I have a fleishik onion. I have an onion that was cooked together with fleish, and now I take this onion and I put it, and it makes its way into my milchiga soup. So what would be the din? Do I need 60 parts of heter of milchiks against the entire onion, or only against the tam of basar that's contained within this onion? Or let's say another case. Let's say I had treif. Let's say I had an onion that became totally treif. It was cooked together with pork or something, and now this onion makes its way into my soup. Do I need 60 parts of heter against the entire onion, or do I need 60 parts of heter against the iser that's contained, the bleels of iser that's contained within the onion? So comes the Sefer Chumas, and he says that's exactly the difference between Shar Yisurim and Basar V'Chalav. That when I'm dealing with Shar Yisurim, there's a halacha that we know from based on the Gemara and Chulin, that the Gemara and Chulin tells us that there is this concept of Efshel Sochto Aser. That when I'm dealing with Shar Yisurim, that if I have Iser, if I have an onion, let's say in this case, that has absorbed Iser, even if I purge that onion of the Tam Shal Iser that's contained within it, the onion doesn't ever become mutter. Because once the iser was embedded within this heter, the onion becomes treif, even if I purge the onion of its heter. So therefore, I'm always going to need 60 parts of heter against the entire onion. Masha'in kain, when I'm dealing with basar v'chalav, if I'm dealing with an onion that's fleishig, all I need is 60 parts of heter against the flavor, the tam of basar that's contained within this onion. Now, how do we pass? So if you take a look at the Mechaber in Tzadi Dalet Vav, the Mechaber says, "B'tzalim yirakos shebelua mebasar ubishla bekder choleves imidua kam mebasar belua b'tzalim yirakos in tzarch shishim elakneger basar." He passes exactly like this idea that if I have a fleishig, an onion that's absorbed fleishig flavor, or vegetables that have absorbed fleishig flavor, and now I cook them up in my milchik pat. So the halach is I'm going to need 60 parts of heter against whatever amount of basar is absorbed. Excuse me, within that onion. Now, the Mechaber doesn't actually make any mention of the first din that the Sefer Chumas mentioned, in terms of the difference between restarting the Ben Yomo clock for Shar Yisurim versus Tam Shal Basar V'Chalav. But the Shach deals with this, and the Shach in Sif Katan Chav Beis presents. He quotes the Torah, who brings on the Sefer Chumas. And then he brings on the Hezbra of the Smak. The Hezbra of the Smak explains what's the lum that's behind the Sefer Chumah. Why is it that there's a difference between Shar Yisurim and Basar V'Chalav? So the Smak says that the reason is that because when we're dealing with Iser, the water itself that I boiled up at 10 o'clock at night after cooking pork in this pot, the water itself has now absorbs all that flavor from the pot, which means that the water turns into Chaticha Shal Nevela. And if the water turns into Chaticha Shal Nevela, then it's Ka'ilu, I cooked Nevela all over again at 10 o'clock at night. Masha'in Kain, when it comes to Basar V'Chalav. The only problem with this point, says the Shach, is that the Torah paskins that Chanan applies only by Basar V'Chalav and not by Shar Yisurim. So it's really hard to say that the fundamental difference between Basar V'Chalav and Shar Yisurim is that when I'm cooking up Shar Yisurim in this pot, if I boil water in this pot at 10 o'clock at night after cooking pork in this pot at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the water itself doesn't become chanan because we don't say chanan by Shar Yisurim. The Torah doesn't pass in that way. It's pretty clear from Simon Sadi Beis that the Torah doesn't pass in that way. So you can't tell me that that's the chilek over here. So therefore, the Shach says the soda davar is not the one in boiling of water. When I'm boiling water at 10 o'clock at night, it's ki'ilu, the water now gets converted into nevela. That's not the pshat. The pshat is based on the Ran. The Ran tells us that not bar nat doesn't apply by shari yisurim. Not bar nat is not something that can water down isra. Isra is always going to be in its state of isra, no matter if you water it down, if you dilute it, or if you weaken that flavor. Vashayin came for basar v'chalav. The basar itself, basar v'chalav, is a problem only if I have strong basar tam mixed together with chalav, cooked together with strong chalav tam. But if I've weakened basar tam, then that's not going to pose a problem. That's how the Shach explains this idea. Now, one more point in terms of these fleshach onions versus the treif onions. So the Shach makes an important point over here. If you notice, the Mechaber tells you if I have fleshach onions, I only need 60 parts of heter against the blios of basar within the onions. So to the exclusion of what? To the exclusion of onions that were cooked together with pork, that wouldn't be the case, because we know that the Mechaber holds that we don't say chanan by shari surim. So I wouldn't say that you need 60 parts of heter against the entire onion if it were cooked together with pork. So therefore the Shach says, well, the Mechaber is telling you that you need 60 parts of heter against only the bleels of basar within this. It means, as opposed to a case of where I have basar v'chalav embedded within this onion. If I have basar v'chalav embedded within the onion, so then I'm dealing with a completely treif onion that's a chaticha shal nevela, and therefore I'm going to need 60 parts of heter against the entire onion. Okay. Now, let's deal with the third the next big issue that comes up over here. That is the issue of what happens if I use a milchuk knife in order to cut fleshiks. So there is a Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Chesamot Beis discusses what happens if I use a sack and shel ovek kochavim in order to shecht meat. So there's two shittos in the Gemara. The more machmer, the two opinions, says if I use a sack and shalove kochavim. So I don't know what this guy used it for. I do know what the guy used it for. The Balatosas fill in the details that I clearly have to know what the guy used it for, that he definitely used it for treif or something. And I used this treif knife in order to shecht. So now what's the din? So we say that the base hashchita, the area, the region that the knife comes into contact with when you're shechting the animal, is considered to be roseach, and therefore a klipa's worth of that basar becomes treif. So in light of that, some want to say that if I have a milchuk knife that I used in order to cut a hot piece of meat, so the halacha is that I'm going to need a klipa's worth of meat to be shaved off in order for the meat to be kosher. However, comes Rabbeinu Peretz, and Rabbeinu Peretz says that's not true. The Rabbeinu Peretz says that I'm going to need not a kedei klipa's worth to come off, I'm going to need 60 parts of meat against the entire knife in order for this meat to be considered to be kosher. Now, if you take a look, that's based on the Rabbeinu Peretz. This is the Rabbeinu Peretz l'shitase. That's what the Beis Yosef makes sure to point out. Rabbeinu Peretz holds that you need 60 parts against the entire knife. Why don't you need it against the entire knife? Maybe only half the knife came into contact with this piece of meat when I was cutting. So the answer is that this is the Rabbeinu Peretz l'shitase. We know that the Rabbeinu Peretz holds cham aksas or cham kulo. So we have to assume that there's tam of chalav, that there's tam all that is dispersed all throughout the meat, and therefore I'm going to need 60 parts of heter, 60 parts of meat against the entire piece of meat. However, the Beis Yosef says that's not true, though, given the way that we paskin. We don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Peretz. We paskin, like everybody else, that you need 60 parts only against the amount of the region of the knife that came into contact with the piece of meat. Now, the Marshal actually paskined that you need 60 parts of heter, you need 60 parts of basar against the entire knife. Why? Because you're not paying attention to how much of the knife came into contact with the piece of meat when you were cutting it, because you didn't realize that you're dealing with a potential issue on your hands. So you didn't really know, so therefore you have to be chashish that you used the entire knife to cut this piece of meat. However, if you take a look at the Mechaber paskins in Tzadi Dalet Sif Zayin, he says, Basar Rosech Shechatcho B'Sakin Chalavis, if I use a milchuk knife in order to cut hot, piping hot meat, Kol HaChaticha Asur, the whole meat is Asur, Im Ein Bashishim, if I don't have 60 parts, Kenegedim Mokom HaSakin Shechatcho B'Sakin, hence the region of the knife that cut the knife. So, that cut the meat. So says the Shach, when the Mechaber is telling you that you need only against the region, he really is taking into consideration the Marshal. In other words, if you know definitively that only a certain portion of the knife came into contact with the meat, then you'd only need 60 parts of heter, 60 parts of meat against that region of the knife. But if you wouldn't know, then you'd have to be Machmer. Okay, now that's in terms of the first point of how much of the knife would you need 60 to be against. But how hot does the meat have to be in order for there to be an issue? So if we notice, obviously the Mechaber paskens outright that we're talking about Basar Oseach. However, if you take a look at the at the Ramah tells us that there's a difference between Basar Oseach that's a Kli Rishon, that's in a Kli Rishon, versus Basar Oseach that's in a Kli Sheni. If we're dealing with Basar Oseach and a Kli Rishon, then I'm going to need 60 parts against that portion of the knife. And the knife itself is going to need Hagala. Of course, we're dealing with a knife that's a Ben Yomo. But what happens if I'm dealing with a Kli Sheni, if the Basar is in a Kli Sheni? So then I only need a Klipa's worth against it. And the Sakin is not going to need a full-fledged Hagala. I'm only going to need Ni'itza Bekarka. So comes the Shach. The Shach says, well, actually, that's not true. We don't paskin that way. The meat is a davar gush. The meat is a solid substance. And so therefore, if I'm dealing with a solid substance, the rules for Kli Sheni and Kli Rishon don't really make any difference. We always consider a hot a davar gush that's yatzel lettuce, but it's always considered to have the status of Kli Rishon, and therefore you'd have to be machmer. Now, what about if this sakin is not a ben yomo? What happens if the sakin is an ein ben yomo? So the Mechaber tells us, Avlim Einu Ben Yomo, O Einu Yodeim Im Hu Ben Yomo, it's only going to ask for Kedei Klipa. Similarly, the Ramah Paskins, Vafilu Einu Sakin Ben Yomo, Yesh Liklof Abbas Ma'at, Lishum Shamnunis HaSakin. You're going to have to peel off at least a Klipa because of the Shamnunis HaSakin. That's if the Sakin is not a Ben Yomo. Okay. So now we've dealt with the case of if you have a milchah knife that you use in order to cut meat. So let's deal with two more smaller issues. What happens if I have cheese that was melted onto the tanush panadish? There is a case from the Ben Yerucham that the Beis Yosef quotes. This doesn't really seem to appear anywhere else. We're just basing this solely on the psak of the Ben Yerucham. So the Ben Yerucham tells us there was a story that happened. Not the Pesach of Ben Yerucham, the Pesach of the Ri. There's a story that happened where there was where something was nafal toch tanashal panadish gevina. That gevina fell into a tanashal panadish, and the Ri was matir the panadish as long as you peeled off a klipa's worth from that panadish. And the question is, what about if the cheese is liquidy? And the Ri says, no, that's also fine because cheese cannot penetrate that far. So there is a little bit of a machlokes among the Achronim, what exactly the case of this Taner Shel Panadish is. The Taz seems to understand that we're not talking about anything more than a fleshic plate. So if you have a fleshic pan, and that's why it's called the Taner Shel Panadish, referring really just to the fleshic car, the Taz in Sif Katan Tez Vav says, Pirish ka'ar shel basar. It's a fleshik plate. The hainu sha'osin b'machu shel basar ha'nikar panadish. You make this panadish in this plate. So if cheese made its way onto this tanner shel panadish, onto this fleshik plate, so we don't assume that the cheese can penetrate that far, and therefore all you need to do is shave off a kdei klipa. However, the Shach doesn't seem to understand the way. He seems to understand that it's talking about the actual food, that when cheese came into contact with this actual food, so then all you have to do is take off Ekadei Klipas in order for there to not be a problem. So the Beis Yosef asks, well, I don't understand. If I'm dealing with this cheese that came into contact with this panadish, why is this any different than cutting meat with a milchuk knife? You have the milchuk knife that comes into contact with the meat, so I have this cheese that comes into contact with the panadish. So the Beis Yosef explains, he gives two terutzim. The first terutz that he says is, no, there's a difference, because when I'm dealing with a knife, I'm dealing with duchaka de sakina. So when I have duchaka de sakina, when I have the pressure of the knife, that pushes time further. Mashingin cheese doesn't penetrate that further, that far. Or an alternative approach is that for sakin, sometimes it actually has grease that's congealed on it, and therefore, and it's not going to be nicker. And so when I cut, the time actually is able to penetrate further because of that mamashes. Now, that's how he paskins. Now, this is not the only place that the duchka, the sakina factor, plays a role. If you take a look in Sif, if I can find it, In Sif Zion, when we talk about the milchig knife that I used to cut the fleshiga meat, that I used to cut the piping hot meat, so we said all you need 60 parts of heter against the knife or whatever region of the knife came into contact with the meat. So the Shach jumps in and he says, I don't really understand what's going on over there. The Shach at Sifkan Chav Zayin says, this is a stira against two places in Shulchan Aruch. First of all, in Siman Kuf Hey, where we discuss if you have an iser that comes into contact with a piece of meat that's lying above the liquid of the soup, so the halacha is when you have an iser that comes into contact with a piece of meat, so you have to take off only a kadeh and a tila's worth. You don't say that the entire, you need 60 parts of heter against whatever amount of iser came into contact. So why is it that over here you need 60 parts of meat at least 60 times the meat against the sakin and shalchalav in order for there not to be a problem? So the Shach gives us three terutzim. One teretz is similar to what we just said in the Beis Yosef, that there's dochka de sakina, because of the pressure of the knife, so the tam is able to penetrate further. That's why it could be that when you're using a milchig knife to cut meat, that we're more machmer. An alternative is that for a stam sakin in those days sometimes had grease on it. And so if I have a milchig knife, so the grease, I might have some leftover butter on it. And that facilitates the traveling of the tam. The tam is able to travel further because of that. It's shem newness. Or it could be that we're dealing with fatty meat. And if I'm dealing with fatty meat, then the fattiness of the meat facilitates the traveling of the tam. Now, the second place on Shulchan Aruch that the Shach asks from is a steer in the Shulchan Aruch over here is from Siman Sadivav. And Siman Sadivav, the Shulchan Aruch discusses what happens if I use a knife, a treif knife, in order to cut a radish. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is that the treif knife assers the radish up until a kadeh natila's worth. You only have to shave off a kadeh natila's worth. But you don't need 60 parts of radish against the treif knife. So why is there any difference between these two places? So the Shach says it could be that there's a difference over there because over there, the thing that's facilitating the travel of the tam is harifus. It's the sharpness of the radish, and it could be that it doesn't enable the tam to travel so far. When it comes to the harifus of tzinnon, we say that sometimes they're even chumras when it comes to harifus of tzinnon. Harifus of tzinnon is even more powerful than resichus in that harifus of tzinnon is able to convert in a binyomo to binyomo. It's able to convert tam pagam to tam l'shvach. Okay, so that's when we're talking about converting ena binyoma to binyoma, when you're converting tam pagam to tam shvach. But in terms of enabling tam to travel further, harifus isn't able to accomplish that. Now, one more point, and that is the case of the hot honey. So this we've discussed in the past, and this was the Mordechai brings down from the Ri, that the Ri had a certain maisa where there was boiling hot honey in a fleshig pot. You boiled up honey in the fleshika pot, and then you poured out from this fleshika honey into, while it was still piping hot, you poured it into a milchig bowl. So what's the halacha? So the re-paskin that's perfectly fine, because even if you would say that the meaty pot contributed flavor to that honey, it's tam of gam. It's nosin tam of gam, so that's not a problem. Comes the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef says, I don't even think that you need that. In this case, it's a case of nap or not. You have the meaty flavor going into the pot, from the pot into the honey, and then from the honey, finally into the wall of the milchig pot. So that's a case of nap or not. Now, the Mechaber does actually paskin like this, in Siman Tzadi Dalet. He paskins in Tzadi Dalet at Siftes. He says, Bishl ba dvash. Bishl dvash ba machvash al basar, bas yoma veriku cham, bakar shal chala bas yoma mutter, mishom davi nosin tam, bar nosin tam, deter. He actually paskins exactly the way. Comes the Shach, and the Shach says, well, I don't understand. How are you getting out the honey from the fleshik pot into the milchik pot? Clearly, it has to be that we're talking about where you're pouring it in one smooth channel, one smooth flow, gush of honey going from the fleshik pot into the milchik pot. How do I know? Because if that wouldn't be the case, then there wouldn't be any chidushim over here. I already know this halacha. This is old hat for the Beis Yosef. So therefore, it has to be talking about a case where you poured out the honey in one flow from the milk, from the fleshik kli, into the milchig kli. The only problem is that if you say that, then we know that there's a halacha based on the Rama in the Siman Tzadi Hey, where he tells us that if you pour from a fleshik, if I pour, let's say, water from a kli rishon, from a fleshik pot into a milchig pot, the milchig pot becomes treif. So then, are you going to tell me that on the one hand, the honey is kosher, but the milchig kli that I poured into becomes treif? That seems very, very strange. It doesn't sound like that way from the Mechaber at all. So the Shach says it could be that we're talking about this mashka, we're talking about med, Maybe that's why there's a difference. But the fact of the matter is, the Mechaber doesn't sound like he's Mechalak like that. It sounds like he holds that everything is perfectly mutter. So the Shach tries to come up with Terutzim. He suggests could be that there's Tata Lemal Yus over here. Could be, on the one hand, we have the Heter for that, that even if you hold that Nizbashu from any poskim, we said that in the case of Nispashu, there is Atidi with Kutak, and similarly, we also have other posts from hold that for Shamnunas, but Basar is Nosin Tam of Gan, so it could be that's why we're making over here. Okay, but either way, just to summarize very quickly what we had, the overview of the Simon. First, we talked about when I'm using a milk spoon in order to stir a fleshic soup. So we said, how did the spoon become milchik? So that we said from the Dark Moshe that it had to have been that I used it for milchik. It has to be that I use it for hot milchiks in the Kli Rishon. What about the soup? How much hatter do I need against the spoon? So he said that's a machlokas Rishon. If you need 60 against the entire spoon, if it's made out of cheres or if it's made out of metal, then we said let's say you have 60 parts of hatter against the spoon. So we said that what stays kosher, what becomes treif. The spoon is the only thing that becomes treif. Why does it accomplish our goal? So we give a teretz based on the smack. What happens if you don't have 60 parts of heter against the spoon? So then we said that everything is going to become treif if the spoon is a ben yomo. What happens if you use the pot to cook something? So then you're going to be in trouble. But you can use this pot for cold things, we said. But let's say the spoon was not a ben yomo and you don't have 60 parts of heter against it. So then we said the food is kosher, the pot is kosher, the spoon is treif. We explained in light of the Gemara in Ein Vav why that should be. Then we said, well, what happens if I use a ben yomo milchik spoon to stir boiling noodles in a fleshig ein ben yomo pot? So we said the kula from the Dark Moshe based on the Isra Vetar Arach. We have the confusing line in the Ramah where he says that you should use the noodles. The noodles should be considered like whatever the ben yomo item was, so they would have to be considered like milchiks. So the Shach says it must be that we're talking about not eating it with milchiks, because then the Ramah wouldn't call that a chumra ba'alma. Must mean that you're using this you're using a milchik utensil in order to eat this food. The only problem is that that's a steer within their muff, you say that. So the Shach tried to give terutzim for that point. Then we talked about the case from the smack, that if I have a pot filled with boiling noodles at 12 o'clock and I use a milchik spoon to stir the pot then a few hours later I boil up vegetables and I use a fleshik spoon in order to stir the pot, so then what's the din? So we said that's a machlokus between the smack and the Yisraveter Arach. The smack was machmer, he said you shouldn't use the pot for milchiks or for fleshiks. We said that according to the Yisraveter Arach you can use it for fleshiks. The Ramah and the Mechaber both seem to paskin like the smack. Then we discussed the two chalukim between Shari Surim and Basar V'Chalav according to the Sefer Chuma. The first one is restarting the Ben Yomo clock. The second one was the Fleishig onion versus the Treif onion. We had the Hezber of the Shach, that the Shach didn't like the way that the smack was Masber, the Sefer Chuma, so the Shach ultimately was Masber in light of the Ran. Then we discussed the case of using a milchuk knife in order to cut Fleishig of meat. We said that some wanted to say that all you need is a G'day Klipa. The Rebbeinu Peretz was Machmer, he said you need 60 parts of Heter against the entire knife. We said that's in light of a Shita of Chamak Tzotzu Cham Kula. We said that we passed in this way in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach had a stiras. He says, how could it be that in the 60 parts of Heter against the entire knife, if we find elsewhere in Sim Kofhei that all you need is G'day Netila, we find in Sim Tzadivav that all you need is G'day Netila. So he said it could be different factors. Duchakat Sakina, the Shamdunas on the knife, could be because the meat is fatty. It could be Davar Harif is different. Then we talked about the Tanur Shel Panadish. We had the Heter of that Rabbeinu Rucham quotes from the Re. We had the Beis Yosef, who said, why is that any different than the case before that we talked about using a milchik knife in order to cut a piece of meat? And then finally, we discussed the case of pouring hot honey from a fleshik kli into a milchik kli.